Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is the first three verses from Lamentations chapter 3 that were just read. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Thus far the text. Trials and tribulations, they come in all shapes and sizes. From I have a headache to you have a brain tumor. From I lost my keys to Dad, I wrecked the car. From I'm frustrated with my coworker to honey, I just lost my job. These trials and tribulations that we experience can be responded to by us in a couple of different ways. Stating it very simply, it's we can trust in our Lord in the midst of them, or not. Well, the book of Lamentations teaches us that we can trust in our Lord when we face trials, big ones or small ones, because this book deals with a big one, and then it also would then apply to lesser ones that we deal with as well. So we have a very simple goal today that I'd like for you to come away from here pondering, and that is that you can respond to any trial that you face confidently, trusting in the Lord. Because as we learn in our text, with him there is always, always hope. Well, the book of Lamentations, I think it was written by Jeremiah, but we can't be sure of that. It's Jeremiah's name does not appear there. It fits. It would make sense. But I'm not going to say it because I can't say for sure. But it's written by a prophet who lived when Jeremiah did, who responded to situations that Jeremiah responded to. And it was one of the worst times in Israel's history. I would say the worst time in ancient Israel's history. In 586 BC, everything collapsed. The national, religious, physical, family, the lives of all the people in Israel were destroyed by war. The temple was destroyed. They couldn't say what we just said. I love the habitation of your house, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Because it was no more. And it didn't matter whether you were rich or poor, whether you were a priest or a layman, everybody suffered the same fate, killed in battle, sieged, and to starvation, and then, of course, maybe deported to Babylon. It was, by all accounts, the lowest point in ancient Israel's history. And not only had their homes and livelihoods been taken, as I mentioned, one of the significant things was the temple was systematically destroyed, and they were removed from the promised land, the land of hope. So God's promise that they would go to a land flowing with milk and honey, that he would abide with them in his temple, that his presence in their lives would be steadfast, that was over. They were left to deal with their trials and tribulations themselves. Or so it seemed. It seemed that God had forsaken them. But in Lamentations, we read that was not the case. Contrary to everything they saw, everything they experienced, the prophet proclaimed, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations is a neat book. It's only five chapters. You can read it, and I love listening to my Bible app and reading it at the same time. Doesn't take very long at all, just 10, 15 minutes. I would highly recommend it. Realize as you're doing it, it's great poetry. These five chapters, the first four use the poetic device of an acrostic. And the fifth chapter is not an acrostic, but it also reflects the length of the Hebrew alphabet is 22 verses. And in the center of it, by design, is our text. In the center of it is this message of God's love and mercy. And that's very significant. In fact, that third chapter is a triple acrostic. And in that third chapter, we hear this message that God's steadfast love never ceases. What I think is interesting, if you just look by quantity of words, you'd say, okay, Lamentations is all about acknowledging our sin and God's judgment on it, and it doesn't minimize that at all, which is important. One of the classifications that counselors might put people into who need some therapy is you're a minimizer. Jeremiah or whoever wrote Lamentations did not minimize what happened to Israel. It's tragic. And it doesn't minimize the fact that it was due in large part to their own sin, and it was God's judgment on that. But right in the middle of all of this reality is this new reality. This reality that's new every morning. The steadfast love of the Lord. His love and mercy is at the center, in the heart, right in the midst of the trials and tribulations. And that's the real takeaway from this. Yes, it doesn't minimize trials, but yes, God is right there in the center of those, giving his people his mercy and grace, his faithful promise to be with them, even when there isn't a temple to go to at that time. Well, your life has trials and tribulations, I know, because you're like me in this fallen world with this sinful body, with the devil prowling around as a roaring lion. And our trials and tribulations come in all shapes and sizes. I pray not as big as the one Israel experienced at the destruction of the temple, but big ones nonetheless. I remember years ago, and this sticks in my mind when I read this text. I was in ministry serving a young man named Jason, whose wife had just left him and their children. She had run off with her boss. And it came totally out of the blue. Unexpected. Well, hindsight looking back, you could see how some of this could have happened, but it wasn't expected at the time. And he was devastated. Didn't know what he was going to do. How could he raise these three children, three young children? And she was not open at all to coming back to reconciliation. It was a tribulation. More on that in a minute. But also little trials beset us. Like an argument with your spouse. Like a bad grade on a test. Anything that happens. You test positive for COVID, you have minimal symptoms, but you quarantine for 2 weeks. In the midst of those little trials, God still comes with his love and mercy right in the middle of those to you. But his love and mercy is not an abstract concept, because it is about him. Even though the temple was destroyed, Yahweh was still with his people through his word. And we know that that word was not abstract. That word became enfleshed in the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Jesus came right into the middle of this fallen world, right into the midst of it. And again, if you just look at quantity, there's one little Jew from Nazareth, this big world with all of its trials and temptations and tribulations, and here comes this human being who happens to be God in the flesh, the mercy of God incarnate, right in the midst of it. And he goes in and he says, all right, God's judgment on sin is also real. And my body is the temple. And he gives himself into death to be destroyed under the judgment of God for the sins of the world, for your sins, for my sins, for ancient Israel's sins, for the sins of the entire world. Now, if you go back to Israel's history, the temple was rebuilt, right? But it was destroyed. It's not here to this day. But the temple of Jesus' body was rebuilt in 3 days. And at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's presence, his mercy, his steadfast love, his chesed, that was present in abundance in the person of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He is the new temple. And you have been baptized into him and have become his temple, where God comes to dwell through the power of his name, through the promise of his word, in the midst of your life with all of its trials and challenges and tribulations. And that is what sustains us as we continue this journey toward the promised land, the one that will not go away, the promised land that will come with the resurrection on the last day, with the new creation, with the ultimate restoration of life. Yeah, and yes, life, it's hard for us to imagine, it really is, where there are no more trials and tribulations. And that is not just some kind of abstract concept as well. Faith teaches us that that will be real, physical, spiritual, holy, and wonderful. A feast, the Bible says. In the midst of this time, though, I told you we're going to return to Jason. And the reason I thought of this, and it's interesting that I do, because I still remember saying the words, where I was at, on the phone, in the parsonage, in Southwest Missouri, and saying these words through the office of the pastoral ministry. And I say it that way because if you just look at what was going on in his life and the prospects of things, I would have to say that there is no reason for hope for their marriage, for his life at that time, for the children. I mean, no reason for hope in something good, we'll put it that way. And yet I found myself thinking about God's word and saying these words, which kind of surprised me as I heard myself say them. Jason, there is always hope in Jesus. I know right now this seems like the worst thing, but I want you to know that Jesus is with you. And through the promise of his death and resurrection, he will abide with you forever. And again, these words, there is always hope in Jesus. And I just kept saying that. I thought, wow, that's true. Even though the evidence around me doesn't look that way, but God's word testifies to it. And the same, of course, is something we should remember every day when we're beset by guilt because of something we said or didn't say, or something we did or didn't do well. There's always hope in Jesus. He's right there in the midst of our trials and tribulations, small and big. So they're going to come. We can acknowledge that. We can say that it'll happen. But thanks be to God that Jesus is with you in the midst of them. And his steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. And so you can confidently say with this prophet, "The Lord is my portion. I will hope in him." And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds hoping in him unto life everlasting. Amen.